Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 44 66. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Job's chapter 7 and Romans 4 verses 1 to 12. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Who is Righteous?
So we are in the book of Job, and if you are joining us, we've started last week with Job 1 and 2, and this is in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and it's all about a person called Job and his suffering, and that's one of his responses after, I believe, one of his friends kind of challenged him, saying, if you suffer, then must be something wrong with you.
Do not human beings have a hard service on earth? And are their days not like the days of a labourer, like a slave who longs for the shadow, and like labourers who look for their wages? So I am allotted months of emptiness, and nights of misery are apportioned to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise? But the night is long, and I am full of tossing until dawn. My flesh is clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens, then breaks out again. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope. Remember that my life is a breath, my eye that will never again see good. The eye that beholds me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall be gone. As the cloud fades and vanishes, so those who go down to Sheol do not come up. They return no more to their houses, nor do their places know them any more. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or the dragon that you set a guard over me? When I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrifying visions, so that I would choose strangling and death rather than this body. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are a breath. What are human beings that you make so much of them, that you set your mind on them, visit them every morning, test them every moment? Will you not look away from me for a while? Let me alone until I swallow my spittle. If I sin, what do I do to you, you watcher of humanity? Why have you made me your target? Why have I become a burden to you? Why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I shall lie in the earth. You will seek me, but I shall not be. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's go to a New Testament reading taken from the letter to the Romans.
Romans 4, verses 1 to 12. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness irrespective of works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Is this blessedness then pronounced only on the circumcised or also on the uncircumcised, we say, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor of all who believe without being circumcised, and who thus have righteousness reckoned to them, and likewise the ancestor of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow the example of the faith that our ancestor Abram had before he was circumcised. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Joycey, Lynn, and again, join in with your own thoughts about those passages. One of the key words that comes in the Psalm, in Old Testament reading in Job, and this one is righteousness. Who is righteous? And the Psalm speaks of, you know, those who follow the law and those who delight in God are like trees planted by a river. There is health. And it speaks about the righteous in that sense. Job speaks about his own life and that he doesn't deserve the suffering, that he seeks to walk before God the best way he can. And here we have this word about righteousness and how do we get righteousness. But anyone who follows God's laws and try to please him knows instinctly that we all fail. That righteousness is not this idea of being perfect in our own strength, of being able to stand before God in our own merits. And that's why in the Old Testament, the law was not just about directions and values and principles, but it was also about making a way to receive forgiveness. And there was a whole temple reality where they would bring a life on behalf of themselves to receive forgiveness. And that was all preparing them for what Paul speaks here in Romans, which righteousness is not something we acquire through our own work. Righteousness is something that is bestowed by God. And he bestowed it on whoever trusts God's promises and God's work. And so the whole of Romans is to point to God has finally made his final works, which is in Jesus, coming to earth to live the perfect life and to take on himself the righteous judgment of God, which he had set to our kind of prototype human being, Adam and Eve, saying, if you do disobey me, you will die. And so Jesus dies in our stead. He dies our death. And by doing that, because he was perfect, conquers sin and is now giving us that ability to stand upright before God, not in our own works, but through faith, through trusting what God has done on our behalf. And that's the whole point of this passage. Even Abraham wasn't justified by his works. He wasn't justified by following God through his life. He was just justified first because he believed in God's promises. He was ready to travel, to journey with him. And if you look at the story, he made many mistakes. He lied blatantly about his wife, kind of a half lie, because he said it's my sister. In a sense, there was a link there. But basically, he was trying to save his life, showing that actually he was doubtful at times about God's promise. If God had promised him that he will have a descendants, he should have trusted God fully. So it's not even about fully trusting every time and always, but having that ongoing trust in God, that what he did in Jesus Christ was on our behalf. And that's where we justified. And I'm looking, because this Sunday we'll look a little bit more about this idea of being justified through faith. That's opposition. Once we recognize what Jesus did for us, and we receive it as a gift, and we give our whole life to God, we are justified instantly. It's like God covering all our sins, wiping them out. That's justification. But then there is also our walk, which is sanctification. And later on in Romans, Paul will speak about that, the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, how it means to live in a community, in a faith community, when we realize, well, we still have quite a long distance to go. When we live close with other people, then we realize, God, help me to be more patient, to be kinder. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And that's a lifelong journey. That's called sanctification. But it doesn't change the reality that once we receive the gift, we are justified. And so blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. And that's the good news of the Christian faith. That's why we should be unashamed to try to share it in the way we can, to say, wow, I've received this amazing gift. God doesn't reckon my sin anymore. It's been covered. Doesn't mean I don't sin anymore. I do. But through Jesus, that has been covered. And even more, he's given me a gift, the Holy Spirit, to enable me now to live a different life. And baptism, in our magazine, we have an article about baptism from the Dean of the Cathedral. And I've just heard we need to pray for him because he's been diagnosed with cancer. We need to pray for him. But he has a wonderful article there in the magazine that speaks about that position we have in Christ. And when we baptize, we are buried. And the old is gone. It's really gone. But it needs to be lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's so much good news to share to others, that we can find true righteousness, not in our own works, but by faith, by just trusting God's promises and God's work in Jesus, and by handing over our lives so that we can be transformed. This is a lifelong journey for all of us, for me, for Joycey, for Lynn, for anyone who's a Christian. But we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us to live that life. And we've just looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit on Sunday, with all those fruits of patience, kindness, and love, and faithfulness, and compassions. So for me, I start the day in good spirits, knowing that justification has happened. That's something that is for sure, and that I'm called to grow more and more into Christ's likeness in my own life. So anything else that's for you, in kind of encouraged you or challenged you in those passages?
I have to own up. I'm always my ears are pinned back when somebody tries to explain to me righteousness, the words righteousness, justification, and sanctification. And how do I keep it really simple if I'm trying to share my faith? Because I think I've got to keep it simple, knowing that my faith is my passport. Is that right? I'm not quite sure if that is right, but it's a mystery sometimes, but it is just the amazing thing to have in your life, to have Christ in your life, and the good times and the not so good times. And I think Job is such a good book for that. You know, the why me. I wonder if that dear Dean is thinking to himself, well, why me? You know, so, you know, he might tick all the boxes for justification and everything else, but why me? It's just knowing, I think, just knowing and feeling that you have this, the Lord or the Spirit is within you. And
I think that shines for other people to see, though. It might not necessarily be what you say. You know, you can just say a few words that can speak to someone, but they can see something different in you.
Yeah, that's the fruit, isn't it?
Yeah. And like I feel on a Sunday, perhaps this sounds rude, but the simpler the message, I tune into better.
Yes.
There's something that's a deeper, you know, you have to go with what it is for that day. But if it's something a bit more complex, then I tend to get a bit more lost. But if it's something that's, you know, it can be complex, but if it can be sort of broken down to easier steps, then that suits me.
I mean, justification for those who like sport is a little bit like you've been called on the best team in the world, not because you were so very special, but you've been called, and that's exciting. But once you're in the team, you still have to work to be a good player in that team. Maybe that's sanctification. We still have then to work to be, you know, and it's a privilege to be in St. God's team.
I think it's been chosen for the team, isn't it?
And chosen for the team, chosen for a purpose.
But
I think the amazing is that not only you've been chosen to the team, but you've been qualified. You've been given everything you need to succeed in that team.
Yeah.
And that shows then how faith is at the heart, because if that's true, then it's only faith that can grow you in that role. It's to trust that you have all the skills, that you have all that you need, and to trust God that whatever he asks us to do, then he will enable us. And if faith is to see what we can't see, then we then have to walk on that trust, on that faith.
So faith is to be sure of what you can't see and certain of the things you don't know, or something like that.
Hebrews, isn't it?
Something along those lines. But that's what it is in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm just very grateful that I have it, you know.
But well, let's pray for the day's task, the world, its needs. We think about the church, we thought about Ruth being up north in Liverpool, and the dean of the cathedral, and all those we know that need God's strengthening, God's healing touch, or just God's presence, to know that even there is why in our heads, maybe to come to that place where we can say, well, why not? If God is with me, I can go through this and be a testimony and a light to the world of those who might go through similar challenges, and we can see what God's difference can it make through that. So let's pray. Jesus, we owe everything to you. In the last day, you came to reveal God fully, to show that your Father's longing was not that anyone perish, but that all be saved. And you made a way, not through our achievements, not through our merits, but through recognizing the character of your Father, who is a God who is willing to take on himself the consequences of our rebellion and to set us free, free to live for you. Jesus, one day you opened our eyes, you called us to lay down our pride, to receive the gift and to follow you. Thank you for Lynn, thank you for Joycey, thank you that they have been justified through your blood. Once and for all, they are yours, your children, and they're part of your family, and they are part of my family. You also call us to grow in faith and trust, to express your intentions where we live, And so, Lord, fill us with your Spirit that you've promised, that those fruit will be seen. Thank you that you're always with us, interceding for us.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.